close your eyes. Allow yourself just for a moment to imagine yourself in the presence of Shiva and Parvati, that mountain where Shiva has sat solitarily is now transformed into a beautiful grove. And you are seated in that grove. Experiencing that seated before you are the forms of Shiva and the goddess, and you may imagine them for the purposes of this meditation as dancing, undulating forms of subtle light. It's as though a pillar of white light is intertwined with a many-colored rainbow. And as you imagine this pillar of white light and the rainbow surrounding it, like the vines that surround a great tree. And you see the rainbow and the pillar of light dissolving into each other. Reforming themselves. And once again, you imagine that these two subtle forms of Shiva and the goddess are being drawn into your body with the breath. And that the pillar of white light and the dancing rainbow-like colors that surround it are taking form as your inner channel, the pillar that runs from the base of your spine to the crown of your head. And with the inhalation, your awareness is filled with the subtle blissfulness of Shiva and Shakti as white and colored light flowing in and down towards the base of your spine, flowing up through the crown of your head. And see if you can sense these two intertwined lovers. As a subtle, blissful energy that wants to grace you . It flows in through your inhalation and flows down towards the base and up towards the crown. As an undulating current of light and color. Shiva and Parvati living inside you, dancing inside your central channel. Are also the source of that intuition which has allowed great meditators and sages to come forth with teachings of liberation. So in the tradition of Tantra, the teachings are given in the form of dialogues between Shiva and Shakti. Shakti will ask questions, and Shiva will answer them, and those answers become the teachings. Many of the great meditative teachings that we experience, that we follow today, come out of their dialogues. And many of them come out of a particular dialogue that is known as the Vijnana Bhairava, the text of that form of Shiva, the fiery form of Shiva known as Bhairava. And it's a teaching that has been used by both Hindus and Buddhists and is still very much loved and practiced today. And it begins when the goddess asks, Bhairava asks Shiva the great question, the big question. She says, O Lord, I've heard the entire teaching that has arisen from our conversations. In scriptures of ever greater power and truth, but I still don't know what is the true nature of reality. And she begins to name a whole lot of technical terms that are taught in the texts. She asks that whether the Absolute is to be visualized in particular forms. She gives various rituals. She asks if these are the way to the truth. And of course, she's the goddess, so she's only pretending to have these questions for our sake, so that these answers will be revealed. And Shiva replies, my dear one, you've asked the very greatest question. You've asked about the essence of my teachings. So understand that all the forms of the divine that I've taught in the scriptures aren't the real essence. They're like magical dreams or palaces in the sky that are there to help the meditation of those who are still caught in dualistic thought. They are given to help human beings make progress on the path, the way a mother uses sweets to tempt her children. But the reality, the true form of the Absolute, is that absolutely full state that's beyond time and space, that's free of all thoughts, that's blissful. That is the Absolute. And then he begins to give a series of very simple practices for entering into that teaching. And these practices include things like gazing at a blank wall or at the clear blue sky, or spinning around and around and around until you fall down, or becoming aware of the space between breaths, or looking at the pattern of sun and shadow on the floor of your room, or contemplating the sky as your head, as we did in our last class on the Divine Feminine. Or feeling the intensified pain that occurs when a needle pierces your vein, pierces your skin, and contemplating that, meditating on that pain. Or focusing on the moment when you fall into the bliss of orgasm. So, in the conversation between Shiva and Parvati, literally 108 powerful techniques are offered, each of which can take us into that state of fullness that's beyond all forms. And this practice that we've been doing of breathing in hum and breathing out so and breathing into the center of the body, into the central channel of the body, is one of those practices that Shiva tells Parvati, that Shiva offers Parvati. And in this last few minutes, I want to give you one more image, because Shiva, as the divine masculine, has several beautiful forms in which he appears, each of which has a profound teaching to give us. So he is that pillar-shaped light that has no beginning and no end. He is the meditating yogi. He is the consort of Parvati, ever immersed in ecstatic, erotic union and in a constant conversation that's the source of yogic wisdom. And he's also the cosmic dancer, Nataraja, which literally means Lord of the Dance. And I want to tell you the story of Nataraja because it is such a beautiful and powerful esoteric story, and we'll end with a meditation that comes from that tale. So the story goes that there's a group of sages who are living in a forest in southern India, and they're practitioners of ritual who have the belief that if you do certain rituals correctly, they're magicians, in short. They're practicing earth magic, and their belief is that if you do the ritual exactly and perfectly, that you can change, you can make, create changes in the web of life. And they've been very successful at it. They're doing one great sacrifice that's meant to change the whole quality of life on earth. And they're in the midst of the sacrifice, Shiva, who is observing them, recognizes that they've completely forgotten that this universe is actually powered and fully manifested and inhabited by the self of the universe, the divine consciousness, who is the Lord, whose nature is grace, and that without recognizing the absolute freedom of consciousness, their rituals, their magic, will only lead them into delusion and ultimately be destructive to the world. So he decides to reveal to them in a very specific form what the truth is about reality. And he does it by appearing in the forest grove where the sacrifice is taking place in the form of a naked yogi with a giant erection. He's exquisitely beautiful. He's radiant, luminous with divine beauty. And accompanying him is Vishnu in his female form, Vishnu as Mohini, the enchantress. Vishnu is a great female impersonator. And when the two of them come into the grove, the sages are utterly enchanted by Vishnu's Mohini form. And the sages' wives, who are very, very reserved, chaste women, are consumed with desire for Shiva. So, and they leave their place in the sacrificial enclosure, both the sages and their wives, and move like ocean tides towards these two deities, who then run off into the forest so that the sages and their wives are chasing the deities through the forest. And suddenly the sages realize what's happening. They realize that they've been tricked. They've been deluded. Their sacrifice is being disrupted. And so they run to the fire and they begin conjuring magical deadly weapons out of the fire, which they fling at Shiva. So they throw, they bring to life a great snake, a great poisonous snake, and they fling it at him, and Shiva grabs the snake and twists it around his neck, and they bring a tiger forth from the fire, which rushes at Shiva's throat. But he grabs hold of the tiger and slits its skin and turns the skin of that magical tiger into his, wraps it around his waist. And finally, out of the fire comes a hideous dwarf who represents forgetfulness itself, the delusion that keeps us separate from the divine. And the dwarf is fully armed. He hurls himself at Shiva, and Shiva again catches the dwarf in his hands, places him under his feet, and begins to dance on the prostrate form of the dwarf. You see this in the statues of the dancing Shiva. He dances and he dances, and as he dances, the earth begins to tremble and the heavens begin to reel. The stars are literally careening around the heavens with the force of his dance. And in the dance, you see how the sages see how universes are born out of his hands and how his hair is entangled in the stars. And they realize that they are face to face with the cosmic divine, the dancer whose body is this universe of endless change, endless creation, sustenance, and dissolution. And as any sensible person would, they fling themselves at the feet of Shiva and ask for his grace. And in that moment, they're all illumined. They're all enlightened. They're all able to see into the heart of the cosmic dance. And in that form, the form of Nataraja, the dancer, is contained the entire mystery of the nature of this world according to the Shaiva teachings. Because in the form of Nataraja are the five eternal and great activities of divine consciousness. One of Nataraja's hands holds a drum called a damaru that he spins, and the drum symbolizes creation, which comes out of sound, out of the sound made by the drum. Another hand is raised, palms out, in the gesture that says, have no fear, which is the gesture that symbolizes the protection that sustains the world. The third hand holds the fire, which the sages throw at him at the culmination of their attempts to quell him. The fire, of course, represents dissolution. The fourth hand, and this is one of the great mysteries of this form, is turned with the palm facing in a gesture of concealment that's called Dola Mudra. And this gesture symbolizes the way the divine consciousness conceals itself within the world so that we see it all as dense and impenetrable, and ourselves as separate. But the hand is pointing to the upraised dancing foot, which represents grace, the grace that allows us to see through the veils of the world and reveals that we and our bodies and our thoughts and the physical world itself are all forms of the divine dancer. And by the way, around the form of the dancing Shiva, you always see in statues a ring of fire, which represents Shakti, the divine feminine, which is the power behind the dance. And when you look at the statues of Shiva Nataraja, and there's one on the website, you see that his face, amidst his wild movements, is completely calm. He is the witness as well as the dancer. The utterly detached observer, who is also wildly and ecstatically dancing, is all it is. And in this, he is us. He is that consciousness which is manifesting as your life. And if you'll close your eyes and consider your life, your body, and the world, in its nature as a manifestation of dance. The cells in your body are dancing in an endless, constant state of creation, dissolution, renewal. Cells are born and die moment to moment. Thoughts in your mind arise and subside. Day dances into night. Winter renews itself and becomes spring. Everything living, human beings, cultures, civilizations, the earth itself, is manifested, stays for a while, and dissolves. And in the great Shaivite contemplation of recognizing yourself as the very form of Shiva's dance, allow yourself to close your eyes and look into your own mind. Allow yourself to turn in and see if you can see how thoughts arise in the mind, how a thought emerges. It stays for a little while, and then it dissipates and another thought arises and stays for a while and dissipates. Just see if you can watch the rise and fall of thoughts. And notice how these thoughts and images that arise in your mind are so compelling are so alluring seem so real that most of the time they completely capture your attention. They conceal the real nature of the self from you. So, just for a moment, consider the great revelatory grace-bestowing idea that the thoughts in your mind, the movement of your breath, the play of cells in your body, that all this, just as it is, just as it is, is made of particles of the divine. It's a complete manifestation and expression of divine awareness. And just allowing yourself to look into your own mind with that recognition, these thoughts that arise in my mind, the feelings I experience in my body, my physical body itself, my breath, wherever my mind goes, it touches Shiva, the divine consciousness, the supreme awareness. Wherever my mind goes, wherever my attention goes, it it goes to Shiva because there is nothing else inside or outside. There is nothing that is not. Nothing that is apart from this exquisite light of consciousness, who, whether you're aware of it in this moment or not, is always Shiva. So allow yourself to hold this recognition even as you open your eyes, if you want, you'd like to do that, or simply sit in meditation and perhaps allowing yourself to breathe in with hum and out with so, but keeping this recognition that wherever your mind goes is Shiva, knowing that this is the ultimate recognition of what the divine masculine actually happens to be, that ground of awareness that holds and contains our life, our mind, our consciousness, that manifests as us, and that both holds, protects, dissolves, and ultimately reveals to us what we really are.